Hey everybody, welcome to the first episode of the Citrus Clarion Podcast, where we cover the top headlines in the Clarion newspaper located at Citrus College. All stories discussed can be found on ccclarion.com. I'm your host, Alex Lomeli. My major is journalism and I am a freelancer for the Clarion. I am joined by my co-host, Ryan Thompson.
Hey guys, I'm an English literature major and the web editor for the Clarion.
Today we will be discussing articles from issue 13 of the Clarion, Professors Comics Bring History to Life, by Rosalind Junqueria.
And Can Social Media Empower Victims to Speak Out? By the Clarion Editorial Board.
We'll start with the professor's comic. Citrus College professor integrates comic books into his curriculum. Citrus U.S. History professor Bruce Olav Solheim has been using comic book illustration styles to head the chapters in his textbook, Making History, A Personal Approach to History, which currently is in its second edition. The comics are illustrated by Gary Dumb, an Ohio-based comic book illustrator whose work has been published in the New York Times. Solheim's comics depict scenes of history while relating them to his own life. This text is for his class, History of U.S. since 1877. So this is History 108. Mm-hmm. And I've took his class before, and I read a few of the chapters with the comics in front of the chapters.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool because each chapter is headed with an entire full-page comic strip related to the era that he's talking about. And it does bring a pretty cool personal approach to his teachings. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely one of like the main things that he tries to do. The article states that the comic pages replaced PowerPoints in his class, but that didn't happen in my class. And maybe it happened in other classes. Mm-hmm. But for me personally, he never said anything about this will replace a lecture. His writing style is definitely different from academic writing because most textbooks are really long form. They're really condensed. And they have a lot of language that is very hard to decipher sometimes. And I think that his type of stray away from academic writing makes it more approachable. And that combined, the comic strips and you got the more lax writing, it makes a more approachable textbook.
Yeah, I definitely have to agree with that. I mean, just having the comic book is already kind of a relief from going through a textbook. And then to have the text itself be a little bit more approachable and, you know, you're not floundering through it, you're not like losing track of what it's even talking about. So definitely.
Yeah, exactly. It does elicit more a focus for a student who's learning about history.
Yeah.
Because you get so much information thrown at you with fat textbooks. We're so used to, you know, our math textbook. I remember my astronomy textbook, it was huge, and they're talking about theories. They're just throwing theories at you, different things. You know, political science, same thing. But his history book is very approachable. And the reason why he even has his own book was because he was kind of sick and tired of books not aligning with his lectures. And he had students complain to him about that, I guess.
Okay.
And so he decided to take it upon himself to write his own textbook. And I thought that was really interesting because it's not too common. And it did bring up the question, you know, is that an ethical dilemma? You know, because it's a required textbook for his class. Yeah. So when you take his class, you would have to buy Making History, A Personal Approach to History. And he has authored 5 books and 7 mm-hmm. plays. So he does have a lot of works behind him. And I did research, did a little bit of research about it.
Yeah, I was going to say, what are like the moral guidelines to pushing your own book on students like that?
Yeah, so it does. There are guidelines outlined in the American Association of University Professors that pretty much says it's not unethical, and it's protected under free speech.
Okay.
There are ethical guidelines behind it. If something is not relevant to the topic, but the teacher still assigns it, that could be behind a firing of a professor. Mm-hmm. So universities do have guidelines for that. But like I said, it's really interesting because it's a unique situation for a Citrus College professor to do this kind of thing, to write his own textbook and take a more artistic and approachable side to academia.
Yeah, definitely.
Which I feel like a lot of textbooks could do. There is thrown a lot at you, and we don't want students to be really confused either.
Yeah, and especially if history is not really interesting to you, then it makes it a lot more approachable to have it presented in the way he does.
Right, right. So anyways, let's move on to your article.
The article that I'm going to be talking about is about using social media to empower sexual assault victims. I'm sure anyone listening out there is completely aware of the Me Too movement that's come up. And so in this article, the editorial board discusses how social media has become a place that victims of sexual assault can speak out about these injustices and find support from other victims. And I think Both those are definitely very important. The Me Too movement is a social media movement where people have used the hashtag Me Too in order to place themselves in a certain group of people that have been affected by sexual assault. And so it gives them the chance to give support to others out there. It definitely brings more attention to the subject. And this whole movement was actually started by Tarana Burke in 2006. Took a lot of time to gain momentum, but in October 2017, with the Harvey Weinstein allegations that became public and they were on every major media outlet across the US, with that, it gained a lot of attention, a lot of momentum, where not just people in the US were talking about it and putting on their social media accounts, but even people in other countries were talking about it. Even on the Citrus College campus, there was actually a Me Too panel recently. The Me Too panel happened on April 10th in the Visual Arts Building on campus, and there wasn't a huge amount of support for it, which is disappointing. Only about 20 people showed up that weren't a part of the panel. So that's kind of disappointing. Do you have anything to say about the panel?
Yeah.
Any part of it?
Just because not a lot of people showed up, I don't think that reflects the overall sentiments of students. I don't know if that would. But I do think that it's interesting that Citrus College, you know, the editorial board had an opinion about the social media impact that it could have with movements like this, especially the Me Too movement. And it's really interesting to see these kind of large-scale societal issues come back to the campus.
Yeah.
And there's people that feel compelled to hold these meetings and talk to students about it. It is unfortunate that there is a small amount of outreach in a community college like Citrus College, but it's really cool to see a lot of these large movements make splashes even in the small community.
Most definitely. In a funny way, it kind of makes sense that not a lot of people showed up since the movement is through social media and a lot of people are talking about it in person, but even by the nature of the victims, they're not people that really want to go out in public and really bring it up to people in person like that. Like, it's much more comfortable behind your phone or a computer to talk about it. So that's completely understandable. But I mean, I think the movement has seen good results so far. Some of the forerunners, as the article calls them, of the Me Too movement were recognized as members of Time's Person of the Year list. So they were actually put on the cover of Time magazine, and they were dubbed the Silence Breakers. So it's definitely gained a lot of media attention, a lot of attention in general. So that's definitely a good benefit. It's worked out in that way. And more cases of sexual assault have been brought against high-profile celebrities, people in the movie industry, different stuff like that. Just to give an example.
Mm-hmm. Even the TV industry, correct?
Yeah, exactly. Just give an example, like the NBC news anchor, Matt Lauer. I'm sure you heard about that case.
Yeah, I did. He did get fired. He was an anchor on the Today Show. And he was fired because of sexual allegations as well. And NBC had to put out a statement about it.
So, I mean, it's definitely encouraging that stuff like this is being weeded out of our society and out of the workplace for sure. That's hugely important. I think that social media can definitely do this, bring attention to an issue or a movement. It can act as kind of a watchdog for our community, for sure. Stuff that maybe wouldn't have been brought up by media outlets now has to be brought up because everyone's already talking about it, so it can't be avoided. That definitely gives a lot of power to the public.
Yeah, exactly. Social media gives a huge microphone to the public, and I totally agree that it's because of us at the bottom that these things kind of muster up to the top, and it's the power
Definitely.
Between the individual, and when they utilize that huge power of social media, they could really bring things to the surface.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened to the Me Too movement.
Yeah. But I think that's probably about all we have to say about today, but thank you again for joining us, guys.
That does it for this episode of the Citrus Clarion Podcast. Again, you could find all articles we discussed on ccclarion.com. Do you know something that Clarion should be covering? Email us at contact@ccclarion.com. We'll see you next episode.